The Lion and the Lamb.
Welcome to our Easter Sunday worship stream, or as some will call it, Resurrection Sunday. He is risen, and he is risen with me and with you. I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson, a diverse community of believers that seek to know Jesus and to make Him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagements, all out of the compelling and sacrificial love of God shared with us in Christ Jesus and by the power of His Spirit. You are welcome to our Resurrection Sunday worship stream. If you have any prayer requests, please do not hesitate to let us know, and we will pray with and for you. You can see on the screen the address where you can send your prayer request. We will also love to read any comments that you may have. It is good to have you for our Resurrection Sunday worship. We serve a risen Lord. Friend, Christianity is about life, eternal life, or timeless relationship of love with Father, Son, and Spirit, in the Son, with the Son, through the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the beauty of this is Jesus died and rose again, not just for Himself. He didn't need to do that. He died and rose again with and for us, for you and for me. And I'll be talking some more about this in the message for today. I want you, friend, to begin to prepare your heart and your mind for the next major worship celebration after this Easter. So Easter really is a 50-day long adventure. And right after that, it leads us into what we call Pentecost Sunday. That is the birthday or inauguration of the church. And this Pentecost Sunday reminds us of our purpose here on earth and the fact that we are not alone. And we'll be talking some more about Pentecost Sunday as the days draw near. Now, speaking primarily to Grace Communion Richardson members and supporters, I just want to say thank you for your generous financial support for our gospel work. They are very much appreciated. And those of you out there who feel moved to participate in this way, in providing financial donation for our gospel effort, you can see on the screen some of the ways that you can do so. Financial donations are tax deductible. They are very helpful and much welcomed and appreciated. Thank you and God bless. Now, if you don't mind joining me for prayer from Jackie, and then a song from our praise team, and a special presentation from our precious kids, and then I'll come back for today's message. Please stay with us.
As we gather together on this Resurrection Day, we thank you, O Lord, with all of our being, for the hope of the resurrection that lights up our lives and colors our days. We rejoice continually in your glorious and triumphant victory over death. Your victory assures us of our victory. Your resurrection gives us the certainty of our resurrection. This day reminds us you will not abandon us, that we will be lifted up. Death has lost its sting. We will be filled with joy in your presence. We have this hope as an anchor and a beacon of light guiding our direction and directing our steps, because you are always with us. You never leave us. Father, bless this service today. Open each ear to hear. Draw us close to you and to one another. Bless all that is spoken, that you might be praised and lifted up. Because you are risen, we rejoice on this Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear beyond my first belief.
Jesus is risen indeed. And you know what, friend? He is risen with you. Jesus was raised from the dead with you and with me. Hallelujah to that. Resurrection is restoration and newness. A rising and also a change. A new creation, a be over, if you please, as I like to call it. The resurrection is a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is alive, he is risen, and he is risen with you and with me. And we're going to talk some more about that. Jesus is your resurrection and life. And he invites you into a new, victorious, joyous life of love. That no matter how hard the struggle, no matter how dark the days, no matter how painful the now and the memories, in Jesus, you rise. You will rise over each and every obstacle. You will rise over each and every sin. You will rise over each and every trial. Because that's who Jesus is. He triumphs over all. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows. And there is no name that is not subject to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On this Easter or Resurrection Sunday, friend, we are reminded to hold on to this eternal perspective, to set our minds on Jesus and the victory he has won for us out of the great sacrificial love of God. Let's look at the story of this rising in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, let's first read from verses 1 to 10. Last Sunday, we went through Passion Week, and as the saying goes, it started with Hosanna in the highest, through crucify him to the tomb. We ended with Jesus in the tomb, and we said that's not the end of the story, because from Hosanna to crucify him to the tomb, actually we'll go on to he is risen. He is risen indeed, which today celebrates. And this is the story of it. John, the 20th chapter, beginning from verse 1, and we'll read through verse 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And that's usually a reference to John himself, the Apostle John, who is writing this. And Mary Magdalene said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple, that is John, started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Verse 8. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, that is John, also went inside. John saw and believed. Verse 9. They still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. I like the way that is put. They did not understand from the scripture that Jesus, what? Had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So we see here the tomb empty. Mary was the first to see that. And it's an amazing story how Jesus chose to show himself first to Mary, to a woman. Of course, it's an amazing in the sense that in those days, the cultural norms of the day was such that women were not as highly regarded, especially as witnesses. And yet Jesus showed himself first to Mary. It is impossible for death to hold on to the Lord of life. So the tomb is empty. Death cannot triumph over Jesus. In Jesus, death does not triumph over you either. Death does not have the final word over us. That's the import of today. The risen Lord has conquered sin and death. I think the first time I saw a dead body, I was less than 10 years old. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I believe it was my uncle who had died and was laying in state. And there were people all over, and we kids were just milling around like kids would do. I really didn't really know what was going on then. And then when I was about 13, 14 years old, I happened to be in a bus with about five other people. And we had someone who had died, the dead body lying at my feet with just a cloth covering this person. It was a fearful time for me. Of course, since then, as a chaplain in my former life, as some would say, I had had to deal with death many times. There were times as a chaplain that I had to deal with death 33 times a month on the average. And you work with people who have lost loved ones or who are in the process of losing a loved one, from babies to seasoned citizens. And there is always a certain fear involved. The fear of death is a powerful, powerful emotion. And I knew as a young person when I first came across a dead body, it was a fearful, fearful thing for me. And we as humans are in thrall, if I may use that word, of death, the fear of death. In fact, if you look at it in the positive sense, you can say that the desire, the force, the instinct for survival is so great in us because we don't want to die. And Jesus came and upended that feeling, that fear of death, and says, no, don't fear death, rather love life. Death is conquered. Death has no more hold over you. Death does not have the final word. I do, and I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. And I give you life. A timeless relationship of love, eternal life, is what I give you. And that is more powerful than death. That's what Jesus' resurrection, as we celebrate today, reminds us of. And we see the disciples coming face to face with this understanding of the resurrection of Jesus in these few verses of John chapter 20. It was an incredible time for Mary, for Peter, for John, and the rest of the disciples when they came face to face with the realization that Jesus is not dead, but is risen. He's alive, and he has conquered death. Jesus says, you don't have to fear death any longer. In Jesus, we do not need to have the fear of death, because death does not have the final word. Jesus does. Let's go down to verse 11, John chapter 20. So, now Mary, again Mary Magdalene, stood outside the tomb crying because she can't find the body of Jesus. She thinks somebody has removed the body. She can't even conceive of the fact that Jesus may have already risen, even though he told them that more than once. So she stands outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb again, just to make sure. Am I seeing right? Is it really true that the body is not in there? And when she did that, in verse 12, she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, where the head was placed, and the other at the foot. They asked her, verse 13, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Here she is, Mary Magdalene, wondering what's going on. She sees these angels and they ask her, what are you doing here? Some of the other gospels say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Is what they asked Mary. What are you doing here? And she says, I'm looking for my Lord. I can't find where they've taken him. And then she turns and saw somebody standing by her. And the prevailing theory is Jesus, when he was raised, he took the linen off because it was burial clothes. And he doesn't need to be going around in burial clothes. So he went out and looked for clothing that some of the gardeners who tend the cemetery, the tomb, use. And so he probably was in the garments of one of the gardeners for the tomb, for the cemetery. So Mary looks around and sees somebody that looks like a gardener. And she asked him, and said, didn't realize that it was Jesus. The man who is Jesus, verse 15, asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he, Jesus, was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary, verse 16. She turned toward him and then recognized. See, all this time, her mind, you know how our mind works. It is not in her mind that it is conceivable that the person that she saw hung on that cross, beaten, pierced, and then taken down and wrapped by Joseph of Arimathea, and she saw that happening and put in the tomb, is the same one standing there. Her mind could not comprehend it until Jesus said, Mary. And then it clicked. And then the aha moment occurred. Wow, this is really Jesus. He's supposed to be dead. He's supposed to be lying there in that tomb. This is really Jesus. And then she turns toward him and cries out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, verse 17, do not hold on to me. So at this time, Mary is giving him a hug, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. The first woman, the first person to see the resurrected King, Mary Magdalene. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Amazing. Amazing. And what I really find interesting that I want to pinpoint or focus in is verse 17. Here Jesus tells Mary that we all, as a result of the resurrected Christ, as a result of the risen Lord, as a result of the risen Jesus, we have kinship. He affirms the kinship that we have now, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He says, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. We share a relational kinship with Jesus. Jesus is our brother. His Father is our Father. His God is our God. It's kind of throws us back to the story of Ruth, isn't it? Where Ruth tells Naomi, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. That's kinship being affirmed. The risen life is one of kinship that we share. We share kinship with Jesus, and we share this kinship with each other as a result of our kinship with Jesus. God is Father to all of us in Christ Jesus. And I say amen to that. And I know when I was growing up, since I grew up in a single parent household with my mom, I didn't really have a father growing up, and because my mother was very interested in growing relationship with God, God became my father growing up. In a real sense, because I needed someone to talk to about a lot of things as a kid growing up. And my mother introduced me to God as a father. And indeed, he is a father to you, too. And he is a father to me. He's not the kind of dysfunctional father that unfortunately sometimes we experience as human beings. That is not God the Father. God the Father is the source of ideal fatherhood. It is God the Father who invented what fatherhood should be. Unfortunately, sometimes some fathers are not anywhere close to that. And so the image and the experience that some people have of fathers is not good. And that is a shame. But Jesus tells us through Mary that God is our Father just as He is His Father. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So the same day, after showing himself to Mary, Jesus now shows himself to the disciples in the evening. This happened at dawn, right? Jesus rises at dawn, and by evening, he's showing himself to the disciples and telling them, "Peace be with you." The risen life, friend, is not constrained by time and space, as we see here. Jesus is able to be with them even when the doors are locked. He's not constrained at all by that. He says in verse 19, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. He's able to materialize even when the doors locked and windows locked. The risen Lord is not constrained by matter, by time, by space. He's not limited by it. He's not bound by it. The risen Lord affirms our peace in Him. He is our peace in this turbulent and troubled life that we face sometimes. He is your peace. Now, the question that I would like to ask and for us to take some time to look at is this. What does the reality of this truth, the truth of the risen Lord and His rising with you and with me, mean? What does that mean? Well, first, I'm going to look at four things that the risen Lord, this incredible true story of the resurrection of Jesus, what it means for you and for me. And the fact that His resurrection is with us. It's not just His resurrection, but it is our resurrection as well. Four things that we can look at from this incredible reality. Because the resurrection is the most consequential event in the history of the universe. And it is that which gives us the hope that we have that goes beyond this life. Well, the first impact of Jesus' resurrection is that it affirms your relationship and identity as a beloved child of God in Jesus. We saw that in verse 17. Jesus telling Mary, go and tell the disciples, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. So the resurrected Christ affirms our identity as beloved children of God in Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two, the resurrected Christ means that Jesus is risen with you. And that is the title of the message for today. He is risen with you. See this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. This is what the Apostle Paul was inspired by the Spirit to write. He says, and God, verse 6, Ephesians chapter 2, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God raised us up with Jesus and we ascended into heaven with him as he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So we are raised with Christ. In this resurrected Sunday, we are raised with him. And the Apostle Paul says it's because God, verse 7, in the coming ages want to show the incomparable riches of his grace that he, God, has expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And that incomparable riches of his grace is what the resurrection, the glorification all entails. The co-inheriting with Jesus all entails. The timeless love relationship all entails. That's the second impact of the resurrection. We are resurrected with him. Your rising, friend, is guaranteed as a result of the risen Lord. It means you, your loved ones, your friends are not under the curse and fear of death. Just as Jesus left the grave behind, so shall you and me. That's the second impact of Resurrection Sunday. The second impact of the risen Lord. Third, we'll read the third impact in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus for our hope. He says, if the resurrection had not occurred, then we don't have hope. Then we of all people who say we are Christians are to be pitied because we are deluding ourselves otherwise. But the resurrection occurred. And so in verse 19, Paul goes on to say, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So the resurrection gives us hope that goes beyond this life. Because Jesus is risen, we have hope that goes beyond this life. Verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. And he's using the analogy of death through Adam and now life or resurrection through Jesus. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Let's jump down to verse 51. This is the third impact of the resurrection of Jesus. That we enter into it, his resurrection and his life. Verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. As a result of this resurrection, Paul is saying, we all have the guarantee of change. And of course, resurrection is not just the giving of life. Resurrection is actually a change from physical to spiritual, from mortal to immortality, from corruption or corruptible to incorruption or incorruptible. That's what Paul describes the resurrection to be in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. So he says, that, listen, I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep, that is, we will not all die, but we will all be changed. We will all be resurrected, so to speak. And that resurrection occurs whether you are dead or alive. In other words, it's a change. It's a be over. It's a transformation. It's a new life. One that does not pertain to this world. One that does not have reference to this world. Our reference is now in our new identity in Jesus Christ. In a flash, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. He keeps on mentioning that change, that newness, that new creation. For verse 53, the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And he's saying Jesus has done this already. He's a forerunner of this for us. And we have this in him. And that is what Paul also describes as the incomparable riches that God is going to show towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory, that is, over death, over the sting of sin, and over the law through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, as a result of this truth, as a result of the risen Lord and what we have in him that he just described, he says, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. And standing firm is another way of saying have hope. Have hope, because we stand firm. Hope is an anchor that makes us stable. Stand firm, he says, in the Lord. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I say hallelujah to that. So that's the third impact of the resurrected, risen Lord. That we will be changed. That we have change and transformation as a result of his resurrection. That the resurrection is not just the giving of life. It is a be over. It's a complete transformation. Old to new. A change from natural to spiritual. Brought to fruition. That's what we have in Jesus' resurrection, in our being raised with him. We will be given spiritual bodies like Jesus, that is no longer subject to sin, that is no longer subject to pain, that is no longer subject to death. Now, let's look at the fourth impact of our having been raised with Jesus. And this fourth impact is in Colossians chapter 3. Let's read that. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4. Now, we know that Paul has already said, and we read it in Ephesians 2, that we are raised with Christ. So, Paul in Colossians picks up that theme, so to speak, in verse 1, the third chapter of Colossians. He says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Past tense, as a result of this resurrection Sunday, as a result of Jesus having risen from the dead, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, Paul says, for you died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. As Paul is saying some very amazing things here. He says, as a result of the resurrection, we are raised in Christ. We are raised together with Christ, and we are seated with him at the right hand of God. And that there are some things going on about us, with us, for us, that is hidden in Jesus. And I personally believe this, that which is hidden, is our transformation. It's like a baby in the womb, being built up in the womb, being transformed from zygote to all the various parts growing and coming into fruition until it's born. That's kind of the analogy I have in my mind when I read a scripture like that. He says, we are hidden in Christ. And there is something going on in this hiddenness, in this mystery that we do not see. But, he says, when Christ returns, Christ, who is our life, when he appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In other words, we will then be revealed. That which is hidden in him will be made manifest, will be made plain for all to see. And wouldn't that be glorious? That's the fourth impact. The final reality of the risen Lord. The impact of Easter or Resurrection Sunday is that we have a living hope. An eternal perspective, as he says, that we have our minds no longer on earthly things. We are not motivated by earthly things. We don't have earthly and material things as our frame of reference, as our motivation. No, we have an eternal perspective that is possible through our new identity in Jesus. So what's more important for you today, friend? Are there things that are going on around you, or are there things that are of eternal consequences, of eternal import, of godly purpose, plan, and destiny? I hope that is what is important, what's of priority, that we organize our lives with that in mind, that we live a life that is motivated by that, by this understanding that Paul is sharing with us in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4. So this living hope, this eternal perspective is fixed in the life and in the mission of love of Jesus. By the Spirit's power, we are able and we are motivated to live out this tension, knowing that as of now we are perishable, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As of now we are jars of clay. But there is an amazing transformation that is spiritual, that is taking place, that's hidden in Christ, that we cannot see, that will appear when he returns at the fullness of time with the resurrection. And so we live our lives motivated by that. We live our lives in the hope of that. We live our lives with this eternal perspective. And it motivates us to participate in the life and mission of love of Jesus through the Spirit's power. No matter what the consequences, we know that we have won in Jesus. We have the victory. Amen to that. And these four amazing consequences of the resurrection is captured in the lyrics of Resurrecting, which is the title of this song that is sung by Elevation Music. It's written by a number of people, Christopher Brown and Cole. I'm going to share with you a few of the verses in this song called Resurrecting. It says, the head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame now robed in majesty. The radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. By your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name, I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there will not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Your name is victory. all praise will rise to Christ, our King. He is risen, friend, and he is risen with you and with me. So what are you going to do about Easter, friend? What are you going to do about the invitation of the risen Lord and the meaning of Easter? Would you use this Easter as an opportunity to reload your life in Jesus, to rise with him? Would you rise with him in newness of life? Would you accept and affirm your identity in Jesus as God's child and face this life with an eternal perspective, a living hope in him that puts him first in all things? I hope you do. Go to Jesus. Ask him to show you what to do and for his spirit to guide you. Reach out for help if you need to. You don't have to do this life alone. I look forward to seeing you next time, friend, as we participate in the risen life of Jesus and his sacrificial love together, seeking to know him and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, through neighborhood engagements, in loving relationships, in hope, and in faith. Amen. Did you know that the day Jesus started his church is called Pentecost? It is the same day that the Holy Spirit came and many people heard the gospel in their own languages. Come celebrate the gift of diversity on Sunday, May 23rd. Mark your calendar for a message highlighting the unity in diversity that we have in Jesus Christ. Pentecost reminds us that we never meant to do this life alone. We do it with the Spirit and with one another. I cannot wait to see you at Grace Communion Richardson for Pentecost. Now, if you don't mind joining our praise team for a song in conclusion. And God willing, I will see you next time. God bless.
Celebrate Jesus.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to to call using the phone. The phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.